Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight is study number 91, and we're going to begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6. But the hand of Jehovah was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emrods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us, and upon Dagon our God." They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them, and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of Jehovah was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emrods in their secret parts. Well, once again, we're discussing this interesting account of the Ark of God in the hands of the Philistines. At the same time, the ark was nowhere to be found in Israel. It was gone. And that teaches us about the removal of the Holy Spirit from the congregations. But on the other hand, the ark represents the Word of God, and the Word of God never left the congregations. As we've also learned, the Philistines are a type and a figure of the church that has been overcome by Satan during the Great Tribulation. And so the ark was in the possession of the Philistines, just as the Word of God, which the ark typifies, was in the possession of those in the churches. And it was the Word of God, the Bible, that God used over the course of the 23-year Great Tribulation to bring plagues upon the churches. Without the Bible, we wouldn't have known what God was doing. But because the Lord gave us his word and opened up the scriptures, he revealed to us that the church was spiritually dead. It was without an inhabitant. And it was in the hands of Satan. And we learn more and more, increasingly so, over the years of the Great Tribulation about exactly what was going on and what God had done. And all the information we learn was negative against the church. God was judging them. He was pouring out his wrath. He was plaguing them as this information spread, and the true believers heard the news. Finally, they were to come out of the congregations and departed out of the midst. And this was a cause of great concern to those in the churches. Well, that's what we're seeing here. Now, the focus on the plagues against the Philistines were these emrods. And so we want to look at this word that's used here and try and understand what it means. Now, the word emrod is 6076 in the Strong Concordance, and it's from 6075. And that word, 6075, is translated as lifted up or presume. And it's actually a very good translation. It is accurate. It has the same idea of 6076, which is translated as fort, stronghold, tower. The word emrod, or the Hebrew word translated as emrod, is also translated as tower. And what is a tower but that which is lifted up? Men build a tower, and they put watchmen in it. It's a means of defending their fort, of defending their city, and it is that which is raised up from the ground. And that's the idea of an emrod. that the Philistine people were struck with. They were afflicted with these emrods. They were risings in their body, rising in their skin. And so we can understand as tumors or other boils or something like that that was rising up upon them, and it was a grievous affliction. From everything we can read in this chapter, it was heavy upon them. It says in verse 6, and the Lord destroyed them, smote them with emrods. And we find this word emrod translated as emrod only one other place in the Bible, and that's back in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, let's see how God establishes this chapter in Deuteronomy 28. In the first 14 verses, the Lord speaks of the blessings that come upon an obedient people. It's blessing after blessing. But then he changes in verse 15, and he begins to speak about the curses that come upon disobedience. I'll read that verse. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Jehovah thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then verse 16, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Jehovah shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke. The word vexation, I believe, is translated as destruction in the chapter we're reading in 1 Samuel 5. In all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. This is really the principle of life that the Bible sets forth. We can count on the blessing of God when we do things his way, when we're listening or hearkening, being obedient to what we're hearing. We have a desire to do the will of God, and he's granted us an ability to perform the doing of it through his Spirit. And so there is blessing. But when we go contrary to God's word, and we turn aside and we go our own way, we're failing to hearken, then the curses come upon us. And of course, this is indicating if we're unsaved, because if we're a child of God, the heart of the believer desires to do the will of God in a perfect way. And so we are blessed. But if we're unsaved, we just can't do it. We cannot seem to fulfill the task of obedience God has given us. Maybe we do it to a degree. Maybe we're obedient to a point, but we always fail, and we're troubled. And as a result, we can expect the curse of God to be upon us and finally to be destroyed. Now, the word emrod is in this context of the curses that come upon the disobedient. And it says in verse 25 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, Jehovah shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. We saw this was the case with Israel, that they would be beaten back by their enemies and were taken into captivity, and they were spread into all the nations. Then it goes on in verse 26, and thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. Jehovah will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, where thou canst not be healed. There is the word emerod, and it is in a verse that speaks of the Lord smiting with the botch of Egypt, or the plagues that came upon the Egyptians, and the emerod is associated with it, and it is not able to be healed because it's speaking of the curse of God upon disobedience and on an unsaved individual. There is no remedy. There is no balm, as the Bible says. Is there no balm in Gilead? Well, there is no balm. There was no balm, no healing ointment, no remedy put forth that could possibly heal the curse of the wrath of God upon the church for those that remained in the congregations during the 23-year Great Tribulation period. There was no Savior. There was no salvation happening during that period of time. By God's mercy, he did have salvation available in the world outside of the congregations, and if any were his elect, they would have been drawn out and heard the gospel and saved out of the environment of the church. But in the church, there was no healing of the disease that God had afflicted the churches with. And this is the word that we find in 1 Samuel 5, that the Philistines are being afflicted with emerods. They are sore afflicted, as they say, his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. Now, the word sore is also translated as grievous in some places, and hardened, as it's the word that's used to describe Pharaoh's hardening heart, his hard heart. The hand of God is hardened upon us and upon Dagon our God, that God had determined to bring this judgment just like he determined to begin judgment at the house of God. Well, let's look at the word destruction in verses 8 and 9, 1 Samuel 5, verse 8. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of Jehovah was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. The word destruction is also translated in some places as vexation. And one I mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I think it was verse 20, it's translated as trouble and tumult, as well as destruction, and it's also translated as discomfiture. And let's look at a place where it's translated as that, because that's a word that we read and may not know what it means. So if you have a pen, you could just mark next to it. It could be translated one of these other ways. For instance, you can jot down destruction from 1 Samuel 5:11. In 1 Samuel 14:20, it says, I'll back up to verse 19, and it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. And there was a very great discomfiture, that is destruction. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. And this is the battle when Jonathan goes up to the garrison of the Philistines and begins slaying them. And that sparks Israel to win a victory over, yes, the Philistines once again, that hated enemy, that sore in the side of Israel. And once again, there was a very great destruction, and that's the word discomfiture. Now, the same Hebrew word is translated as destruction in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 22. We'll read 22 and 23. And Jehovah thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But Jehovah thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. So here God is referring to the nations that were left to prove Israel and indicating they will be driven out little by little until they're destroyed, and with a mighty destruction until they're destroyed. And that's the same word. Okay, let's go back to 1 Samuel, and we'll read again the end of verse 9. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emrods in their secret parts. Now, we know what an emrod is. At least we know how to describe it. It is something that was rising up. Again, tumor, a boil, a mound of some kind in the flesh that rose up upon the Philistines, and it was a severe affliction. And God also tells us they had these emrods in their secret parts. Now, secret parts is actually the translation of one Hebrew word, and that word is found only here. So we don't have too much help in searching the Bible to see how it's used elsewhere. And occasionally we come across a word that's only used once or twice, and it's harder to understand or to learn more about that word in order to let the Bible define it. But we can know, because this is a word that is related to what the Bible says, and the Bible in the Old English is not shy about this. We're a little bit more reluctant to use this word today, but the Bible uses it a few times, the word piss. And when the Bible speaks of pissing against the wall or something like that, it is the Hebrew word is related to this word, secret parts. So we can probably gather that the emrods were rising in the private parts, the male reproductive area. And so this was not a light thing. This surely was a grievous affliction. The men of the land of the Philistines were greatly troubled by what God had done. Now, notice in verse 10, and we'll read 10 through 12 of 1 Samuel 5. Therefore, they sent the ark of God to Ekron, and it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us, to slay us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines, and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go again to his own place, that it slayeth not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there, and the men that died not were smitten with the emrods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. So men were dying. We're not told how many Philistines died, but we can gather it was a lot of them in order for them to have this kind of reaction. You know, God told us, for instance, how many Israelites died in the battle, the first skirmish that we read about in 1 Samuel 4. It was about 4,000. Then he told us when they were ultimately defeated that 30,000 died of Israel. But we didn't receive any numbers concerning the Philistines. Certainly they had losses, but God didn't report any. And so too here we read of many dying, or the men that died not were smitten with the emerods, but we don't have an actual number. And I think this is because of what we read in the book of Revelation. In chapter 11, it says in verse 1, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. The Gentiles, the Philistines were Gentiles, the Babylonians were Gentiles. The Gentiles are those that came against the people of God, Satan's emissaries, the assault of the enemies of God that the Bible speaks so much about. And it all relates to the overcoming of the church by Satan and the unsaved that are under his power and under his authority again during the Great Tribulation. And notice that the court given to the Gentiles is not to be measured. It is not to be numbered. There's no number given that. And it's more than likely the reason why we're not given any numbers. God isn't concerned with the numbers of the unsaved. He's concerned with the numbers of the saved. So we read of 200 million in the book of Revelation that are loosed out of the river Euphrates or from Babylon, the world. And in all probability, that's a number that represents all the elect. But we're not given the number for those that are not elect. Let's just look at one last thing today, and that is how the ark was moved. It was carried from Ashdod to Gath, and then from Gath to Ekron. And this was done over the course of the 7 months. Now we're reading a summation. It's very concise in this chapter. It seems to be happening in a matter of days, as the ark was placed in Dagon's temple the first evening, and the next day they found Dagon fallen before the ark of God, and then the second day, and then the third day we read about. But then we just read that the ark of God is moved about from city to city of the Philistines. And yet it could have been in Ashdod for a couple of months. It could have been in Gath for a couple of months. And then it comes to Ekron. We don't know precisely or exactly how long the ark was in each city. But the news of the devastation that was occurring in the other cities reached Ekron, and the Ekronites, the people that inhabited the city, they wanted no part of the Ark of God in their city. They certainly heard of the death, the destruction. They heard of the disease of these emerods. And now their lords had made a decision to bring it into their city. And so they're crying out, oh no. But notice it says, they have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people. And it also says in the end of verse 12, the cry of the city went up to heaven, that they were being smitten. According to verse 11, the hand of God was very heavy there. So they were right. They saw the ark come into the city. They knew what it meant. This means we will die. We will experience this sore illness. And it's happened just as they thought. And the same thing was occurring there. And there was just this awful and ugly situation. And yet we wonder, well, what is going on? Why is the ark being carried about from city to city? And what is the purpose of that? In other words, why is God telling us that the ark was in the land of the Philistines and in all their cities? Or, well, we read of three of them, but later, actually in chapter 6, when they realize that they need to offer up a trespass offering to give to God, they make 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, because it says in 1 Samuel 6, verse 4, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on you all and on your lords. So there's some indication there anyway that this plague was even on the cities we're not reading about. There were 5 Philistine major cities, or at least they were somehow impacted by what was happening with the plague going in these 3 other cities. Well, we're going to stop here and take a short break, and then we'll come back and open up the room for our Friday night question and answer.